If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. How many know that God's got more revelation in some of these old scriptures that we've read and know? And isn't that good? So Deuteronomy 8 is something, I've read this scripture for 30 years. And, it's one of my top 1,000 scriptures. And so in my top 1,000, I'm pouring through those all the time, constantly. This is one of those. But Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 says this, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Now, when I say the word wealth, let me just think for a moment. And I say the word wealth, what comes to mind? What kind of image? You see, a pile of money, treasure chest, precious jewels, big mansion, yacht. And when you say wealth, especially in the world, there's definite images. The TV will tell us what they say wealth is. The dictionary says wealth is a great quantity of money, valuable possessions, property, or other riches. That's the definition from the dictionary. But if you do a little study in this, Old Testament, most of you know this, Old Testament's written in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek, and so you can do word studies, get your Strong's Concordance in different books and do a little study on words, and I love to do that. And the Hebrew and the Greek words are so much richer than the English language. They'll use a particular word and it'll have much more meaning. And again, just as it is, it's amazing. And you can just use the dictionary and, come up with a lot of revelation. But you can even get further revelation by digging even a little deeper. And so this word wealth, if you study it in the Hebrew, it means well-being. It means well-being. And it's similar to the word shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. So it has the connotation of wholeness. So certainly money is included in that. I look at the whole part of my life, at Oral Roberts, we talked about Oral Roberts University, we talked about the whole man. Spirit, soul, body. Man is three parts. But then you can add the social aspect, our relationships, and then also our finances to that. Those are the areas of our lives. And so when God's talking about wholeness and well-being, He wants it in all the areas of our lives. Amen? And so, think of that as we look at that. And then the word power is similar to the word dynamis that we've talked about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He shall give you power. Everybody say power. And dynamis is dynamite power. It's force. It's an ability. It's power. It's God's power. And then the word get. He says you'll get wealth. The word get means to produce or create. All right, so let's look at, and this is the Matt Judd translation. So don't quote me on this, and don't use this as scripture. But so we could say Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 says, God has given us the ability to produce or create well-being. He's given us the ability to produce or create wholeness. And then it also in the verse, it says, why are we given this power, this ability? And he says the purpose is to establish His covenant. Now, under the Old Testament, New Testament, you can, maybe look at different things of what that word covenant means. Covenant is basically a contract. Covenant is a contract between two parties. The Bible is all about covenants. And the covenants that God does is not by a legal contract that you sign and you have lawyers and witnesses. His covenants are ratified in blood. So, you know, pretty serious. I remember we did a membership interview, and I remember one of the members, this is when we were back on Wrightsboro Road in the shopping center there, and one couple came in, and the guy had a bag, and I didn't know what was going on, but he had this bag, kind of a duffel bag with him. And we were going through the whole interview, and everything went well. And we said, well, you guys are going to be members of the church. And then he reaches in his bag and pulls out this big knife. And I go, Jesus. And he said, I'm ready to cut the covenant. He was kidding. But he was ready to, you know, cut it right there. I was tempted. But we know Jesus already cut the covenant. We don't need to do it with each other. We're already blood brothers and blood sisters already in the same family, so we don't need to do that. But so the covenant's in blood. And what is this covenant about? It's really a covenant of blessing. It's a covenant, and if you get right down to it, and blessing, when you bless people, it's an expression of love. So you could really say it's a covenant of love. So he's given us the power, the ability to produce or create well-being and wholeness so that we can establish his love in the earth. That's his plan. And that's the whole thing about Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he blessed the world. It was all because out of his great love for us and for the world. And he didn't want any to perish, but he wanted all to have everlasting life. And so money was never meant to be our pursuit. And that's where we live in the most prosperous nation on the earth. At least we were. I don't really know if we're number one anymore, but we were. And somewhere along the way, I think many in this country have gotten off where they've made money the pursuit. Money is the end all. Money's going to bring happiness. Money's going to bring health. Money's going to bring peace. Money's going to bring all these different things. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say we don't need money. I'm not going to stand here and say that God doesn't want you to have money. I'm not saying that either. But money is not the goal of our lives. Studies have proven that when people come into a windfall of money, there's a great odds or percentage they're going to lose all of it. One state reported that 70% of the lottery winners ended up worse off after they won than before. 7 out of 10. Other studies say that a family that comes into a windfall or creates money, 90% will not, of the third generation, will not have money like that. 9 out of 10. Meaning it won't be passed down to the third generation. Now, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil, but it doesn't say money is evil. Money just magnifies what's in our heart. And so if you have evil in your heart, if you have corruption in your heart, if you have the wrong motives in your heart, money will just magnify that. If you've got good in your heart, if you've got blessing on your heart, then that will only increase your blessing to others. But let's go back into Genesis. Let's go back to the very beginning of your Bible and go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1, and I'm going to read from the Message translation. And it says this, first this, God created the heavens and the earth, all you see and all you don't. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke light, and light appeared. God saw that light was good and separated light from dark. God named the light day, and He named the dark night. It was evening, it was morning, day one. And we could go on through creation, and we'll get to this in just a minute, but then God created man. But He created all these other things for man. Man's not just another one of His possessions. He created all these things for man. God had a need for fellowship. God had a need for family. But God took a chaotic situation, a situation that the enemy had destroyed and messed up, and He came in and created. He came in and brought light. He came in and brought harmony and unity and order and love and beautiful things. Is that right? He's the Creator. And He said it was good. And so He is out to create good things. We need to know that. To create good things. Things that are a blessing. Things that will flourish and multiply. So let's all go on. Let's go down now to verse 26. And I'm going to read again from the message again. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image." Everybody say, His image. Think about that now. Let us make human beings, talking about us, talking about you, talking about me, in His image. Make them reflecting our nature, reflecting God's nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. New King James says, He gave us authority. He doesn't use the word authority, but power over all the earth. He gave you power over all the earth. I mean, you're going to need to get a revelation of that. What does that mean? Yes, earth itself, every animal that moves on the face of the earth, God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper. Reproduce. Fill the earth. Take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air and for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. God created a world of abundance. God created a world that was thriving. God created a place that was beautiful and flourishing. And He gave seed. And everything that He made, you know, produced after itself. And it was good. And so I want to say to you today that God is a God of abundance. He's a God of abundance. He's not a God of lack. Our lives should not be producing lack. Our lives should not be producing lack. This is a trademark of the enemy. Now, turn over to John chapter 10. And John 10:10, to me, is the dividing line of the Scripture. John 10:10 shows us God and the enemy all in one verse. John 10:10 shows us God's kingdom and the enemy's kingdom. What God wants, what the enemy wants. And you have to know this, and you have to have this in your foundation, because it will help you, first of all, to be able to receive from God. It will help you understand the world, what we live in. You'll just live your life in a different way if you get this straight in your thinking. John 10:10, Amplified, says this: the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. See, his is about lack. His is about the curse. His is about stealing and taking and cheating and robbing and hurting. You see that? That's his mission. That's what his kingdom is all about. He's got nothing good in him. He's all about lies. And he wants to do everything he can do to take you out and rob you. He doesn't want you to have any joy, any happiness, any peace. He's going to do everything he can to get to you. And one thing we've got to realize, if he's so powerful, why hasn't he taken you out already? We've got a lot more authority than we know and realize of our lives. But he's sneaky and he's conniving and he's trying to work in your mind in any area to try to get in there and bring his lack. That's really what he did in the garden. Well, the first thing was he got Adam and Eve to believe that they were lacking. If you eat this, then you'll have this. They had no lack. God was their mentor, their trainer, their coach, their father, mother, right there to teach them, setting things up for them. And his plan for them was to tend the garden and to watch over it and for him to bring God's will in the earth, which is multiplication, and for it to flourish and for it to thrive. And what happens? Satan brings his lack. He got in there. And that's when the problems began. And the problems we're dealing with today go back to that. It was the open door. Now, thank God, God already knew, because Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So God already had a plan. But that's the devil, stealing, killing, and destroying. Now let's look at God's plan. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance till to the full, till it overflows. God's into overflow. Overflow, well-being, wholeness, overflow in every area of our lives. His will be done in heaven as it is on earth. We're to bring His abundance here. We're created in His image. We have His nature. We don't have a nature of lack. We don't have a nature of decrease. We have a nature of increase. We have a nature. We're in His image, created in His image. Same power that was on Jesus is on us. Resurrection power is in us. Life is in our nature. Creative power is in our nature. The ability to multiply and to flourish. But see, the enemy is, constantly trying to bring these seeds and bring these situations and bring things in our lives to get us to think that we're to live in lack. To get us to embrace it. To get our mouths lined up with it. And really, there's sometimes, you talked about blind spots and different things. And deception. Is he wants us to believe a lie that God, well, I'm going to bless you in this area, in this area, in this area, but I want you to lack. I'm going to teach you some things over here, so I want you to lack here and have some lack here and just a little bit of lack over here. And you can kind of, in those areas, I'm not saying all areas, you can kind of have, well, I'm just going to get by. I'm just going to, you know, it's not so bad. I'm just going to, you know, I'm doing okay. I'm just going to put up with it. Well, I hope after today, you don't put up with it anymore. I hope I just make you spitting mad or happy or something today, stir you up today to not to put up with lack any longer. And you've got to be determined to drive out what the enemy has brought in. And let's go over real quick. Let's go over Numbers. I'm going to come down here. You all look too comfortable and get in those big chairs. And Numbers 13, we'll read a little bit about this. This is where, you know, the children of Israel, they've been out of Egypt, and they've been wandering and wandering and wandering and wandering, and now God is wanting them to go into the promised land. And so he has this plan to send in some spies, 12 spies to go in and check out the land. And so these spies go do that, and now they're coming back, and they're going to give their report to Moses in the congregation. So just like we sent spies today to go spy out something, and now they're going to come back and give a report to the church. Numbers 13, verse 27. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey." Just like he said. "And this is its fruit." I mean, they had guys carrying these big, you know, boards and whatever, logs with, you know, fruit so big, took four men to carry it. That's pretty good, huh? Those are some pretty big grapes. Then here you go. "Nevertheless, this and this and this, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Blessing, blessing, blessing. God's so good, blah, blah, blah. Nevertheless is a killer. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites, all the Ites, dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession." See, there's somebody that had them in them abundance, victory, faith. This is faith talking here. "For we are well able to overcome it, not in yourself and your own abilities, but in God." We are well able. "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report in the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." How you see yourself. How you see yourself. They saw themselves like grasshoppers. And because that's how they saw themselves, that's how they were. How do you see yourself this morning? See, that's one of the things that we're trying to do. And, you know, I hate to say this, we're trying to brainwash you. I'm just going to go ahead and just tell you, we're trying to brainwash you to help you see yourself in a different way. Help you see yourself in a different way and help you see God in a different way, because we believe, because of who we are in Christ, we're sons and daughters of God, and we've got an inheritance here on the earth. And the works that Jesus did, greater works than these, you shall do. and that He has for you in this realm, in this earth, the abundant life. He's got multiplication and for you to thrive and to flourish and to succeed and to prosper and to move forward. But if you don't see it, you won't have it. And it can be all available and sitting right there for you. What does it say in Psalm 23? He wants you to come to the table and eat in the presence of your enemies. But we're not going to the table. We're sitting outside the banquet hall looking in and watching everybody else partake. We've got to go to the table by faith. Are you thinking today? Or you got your eyes open and you're sleeping? I know a guy that one of my friends from that I used to know from St. Cloud State swears to me that he would drive home asleep. He'd drive like 30 miles because he had to go. And he said he would sleep while he would drive, was driving. So is that what you're doing today? Are you looking at me and you're sleeping? Poke your neighbor and ask him if they're asleep. You guys are awake? Martha? Susie? If you go on to read chapter 14, they didn't want to go into the promised land. They wanted to get rid of Moses. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They said it was better back in Egypt. You see how the enemy can mess with your thinking? Being a slave and being whipped and beaten by the Egyptians is better than the miracles and signs and wonders of God. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to the days before I was saved. I'm not even going back to the days when I just got saved. I'm not going back. I want to go where God is leading me to go. But we can't go unless we see it and we believe it and we've got our faith active and have an attitude we are not putting up with lack in any area of our lives. And we may not know what to do, but we know the creative power of God, the power to solve problems is on the inside of us. So we don't have to worry and get all stressed out about the problem because us and God are the majority. But we have to believe Him on purpose. We've got to take His word, put it in our hearts, and put it in our mouth. Amen. And then act and follow the Holy Spirit and do what He tells you to do. Even if it doesn't make sense to your mind. Because He's got abundance, He's got increase on the other side of your willingness and your obedience. I'm trying to be like Joshua and Caleb today here. You were made for greatness. You were made to overcome. You were made to solve problems. You were made to make this world a beautiful place. You were made to multiply and thrive and flourish. That's who you are. Resurrection power and life is on the inside of you. Wealth is on the inside of you. Influence is on the inside of you. I'm just saying, everybody else in the world is coming out. Why don't you come out today? We're having a coming out party here at Good News Church today. The people of Good News Church, we're coming out. You're looking at me, I don't know if I want to come out. (Laughs) Well, I just hope the Holy Spirit's working here today. You can get comfortable with lack. Get comfortable with having enough. Just enough. Get comfortable just getting by. Comfortable in trusting your own abilities. You know, if you live in your own abilities, you're going to live at such a low level. If that's all you're going to have, just according to your abilities. And it's easy to get caught in the trap of pursuing stuff. You know, that's the world's way, is pursuing stuff, getting stuff. We are, you got to remember the covenant of Abraham. What was the covenant of Abraham? It said about Abraham, blessed to be a blessing. I've been reading Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14 every day. I've been walking outside, and my neighbors probably think I'm crazy. I don't care. I am crazy. And I've been quoting Deuteronomy 28 that says, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm the head and not the tail. He blesses my storehouses. I'm a zizzer. Enemies who rise up against me have to flee seven ways. You see, I've been the guy quoting about the rain. That's why we got all this rain. Because he said you'll bring rain to your land in season. I'm sorry. You want me to hold that part off? We are creating, not trying to get. God has placed within us the power to meet our own needs and the needs of others. Money is the result of our pursuit of Him. Money is a great follower, but a bad leader. Now let's go over to Matthew 6. I'm going to bring the hammer down. Who's ready for the hammer? I'm bringing it down right now. Do you want me to bring the hammer? I don't know if you want it or not. We might just need to end the service right now. All right, let's go over to Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek, amplified, aim at and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. Then all these things taken together will be given you besides. Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. All right, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, the rest of this year, next, 2014 and 5 years down the road, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. It's a waste of time. You're wasting precious energy that you could be seeking God with. Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have all the worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. So your assignment today is to seek first the kingdom. Seek His will, seek His plan, seek His covenant of love, be a blessing. Bring healing and life and all, joy and be blessed to be a blessing. Your job assignment today is to be a blessing. I'm going to come over here. I haven't talked to you. Your job assignment is to be a blessing today. Well, Pastor, I can't be blessed. I just got so many problems. I've got so many burdens and weights that I just can't be a blessing. I have. That's the enemy. The way out of your problem is to give your way out. Bless your way out of it. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says that he who waters will himself be watered. Message translation. You want to be watered? Go water other people. See, you've got to change your mindset. You're generous. I'm not coming from a place of lack. I'm generous. I can tithe. I can give offerings. I can buy somebody's meal. I don't buy it on credit. That's not what I'm talking about. But today, your job assignment is to be a blessing. And your purpose, why you're here, is this covenant of love. And so establish His covenant today. And first of all, you know, establish, of course, it in your home with your kids. That's a good place to start. But get so wrapped up in blessing others, the blessings of God will come and overtake you. All these things the Gentiles seek will be added unto you. But see, this time, when it comes to you, you'll be able to enjoy it and know what to do with it because your heart is right. Your motive is right. It's not about me. It's about His kingdom. It's about His plan. He can trust me. It's not about me. It's about the Great Commission. Man, it's quiet in here. Whew. All right, let's go over to Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. This is for you, Tom Taylor. You ever want to be encouraged in your life? Go talk to Tom Tiller. If you ever down or low or need someone to encourage, go talk to Tom Tiller. Tom, I need to get you an office. We'll just line them up after the service. So I'm bringing a little encouragement your way today, Tom, to the house of Tiller. Ephesians 3:20 amplified. Now to Him who by a consequence of the action of His power that has worked within us is able to carry out His purpose. See, purpose and provision always go together. First purpose, then provision. Provision follows purpose. Is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. But you can get so beat down, you won't even ask or think anymore. When's the last time you asked for someone else? We're asking, pay my light bill and do this. And it's such a low place. When's the last time, we started, asking and praying and believing God for our neighbor, for them to be blessed? Get out of this selfishness. But put that scripture back up here. Did they ever have it up there? I don't even know if they even had it up there. Now the other one. One before that. Now you just gave away my whole message. No, you didn't. Ephesians 3:20 amplified. 5, 4, 3, 2, boom. Okay. Did I write that? Am I making this up? Do you all believe this? Do you live your life like you believe this? Do you believe that today God wants to bring super abundance to you? Do you believe that? As we're following Him and His purpose, look at that! Will you look?
Look! Look right there! Are you looking? Look at that!
Abel, carry out his purpose. Do super abundantly. Not just, you know, a little bit. Super abundantly. What a word. When's the last time you said super abundantly? When's the last time you believed for super abundance? When's the last time you said, I'm going to have a super abundant day? Rick, have a super abundant day today. When's the last time you told somebody to have a super abundant day? You see our thinking? You see how the world that we live in? You see why we need each other? Iron sharpens iron. You see why we need a church? We need brothers and sisters that will talk to us and tell it to us. Because we just get lacking there. And it just creeps up like weeds and things. You know, I got this vine growing on my wall. I mean, it's just, while I'm sleeping, it's just growing. Every time I get out there, it's bigger and bigger. I mean, it's just. I got to wrap this up, Susie. This is the will of God for you. Tom Tiller, that's for you. That's what he desires for you and your family. I want you to take hold of that. I want you to put that in a card and carry it in your wallet. I want you just to read it and speak it every day. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, amplified. About to wrap it up here, guys. Shall we go to the next part? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, amplified. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, unwilling to abandon or to do without, a cheerful, joyous, prompt do it giver whose heart is in his giving. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance. When's the last time you quoted and said about yourself, you were furnished in abundance? You can never rise above your confession. You can never rise above your thinking or your confession. You're going to have to get your thinking and your confession at a greater place than the way you're living in order for you to rise. Because you will always rise to your confession and to your thinking. That was worth the whole sermon right there. You'll be like the bobber thrown in the water. Just rises up. Boom, comes out of the water. And notice here, it has blessing others, the purpose, our purpose, and being blessed. See how it's together there? And then, see, you get so wrapped up in this, you're possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Some people just get so wrapped up in giving and blessing others, it turns into a business. See, a business should be not about making money. And that, you know, I know you need to be profitable, but it shouldn't be just about making money. Business should be about blessing people and meeting people's needs and solving problems and creating value for their life. And you get so wrapped up in that, and God's going to bring more to you. But you can get so wrapped up in the bills and the money and all of that stuff that you lose sight of what your life is really about. It's so easy in this world to do that. Provision follows purpose. Great purpose produces great provision. Great giving also always precedes a great harvest. All right, last scripture. Acts 4. And I'm reading this whole passage here on purpose. Acts 4, verse 27. This is when the church came together. They were at a crisis. They came together, their own company, and they were praying. This is what they prayed. For truly against your holy servant, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before it would be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. See, they're praying purpose there. They're praying God's plan. They're praying what the Lord wants to do. They're praying about giving life. You know, you could easily add Matthew 9, praying about the laborers. You want to see your finances increase? Start praying Matthew 9 about thrusting up the laborers. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Well, I'm praying God's purpose, what He wants. Seeking first His kingdom. So did you see that? Nate, are you seeing this? You see what they prayed here? Now, let's read that in light of verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. See, when you pray about God's purpose, it's got power to it. The place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. And now the multitudes of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say they had any of these things in common, things that he possessed with his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Early church had purpose. The early church knew what it was about. And today's church, we've just gotten off. Today's church has gotten off into the ABCs of ministry. What are the ABCs of ministry? Attendance, buildings, and cash. So many, many pastors in the U.S., that's what they're focused on. Attendance, building, and cash. And building their kingdom and having this thing and look at what everybody can see. But maybe ours should be ABC. All about, no, that doesn't work. All about Christ. That's how we talk in the South. So we're about to receive our offering for today. And you know, when I'm playing golf, which is rarely, I don't play much golf, but I like to play, but I don't play much. When I'm playing golf and I'm having a bad round, Gary, you play golf, don't you? I don't know if you ever did this, but when you play golf and you have a really bad round, I used to draw the line on the scorecard. And somehow, psychologically, that helped me to play better because it was like saying, all of that I'm getting rid of. I'm starting fresh this new hole. So as we bring our offering today, I want you to write something on your offering envelope or your check. You can write, it's a new day, a new place, old things passed away. Write something to mark this particular day, because I believe this is we're right today is a beginning of a change for us. A change in our thinking, and a change for this congregation, and I believe a change for you. And I'm just following the Holy Spirit. Because we're going some places. We got things to do. You got things to do. And we gotta say, we're tired of this lack. We're tired of just getting by. We're tired of these old things. And we're moving together. And then from this day forward, we're gonna take it day by day. But let's then start speaking and praying and expecting for each other God's abundance.